this morning. It's too bad Pastor wasn't going to be able to be here. Well, that must be hard. I'm sure he's been looking forward to this, being able to be here with the Needhams, and it's a great blessing to have them here. I don't see why he didn't just have him preach all three services today, but either way, we'll get started here. I'd like to talk on a good influence. Are you being influenced by the good or evil? And so we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your many blessings, Lord. We thank you for the safety that you provided those that made it out here today. And I pray that you would just give me the words to say this morning. I pray that you would bless what you have given me, Lord, to teach on, Lord, this morning. And I just pray that you would open hearts, Lord, and minds, Lord, to what you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I haven't had a lot of time to prepare this message, so it shouldn't be too long for you. But we influence all those around us, whether we like it or not, and people around us influence us. So, I mean, you know, you go over to somebody's house or somebody comes over and they act a certain way or they talk a certain way, and then you'll find yourself or others, you know, talking that way because it's, you know, different and it's just almost natural and automatic. First, we're going to look at an instance in the Bible of we're going to turn to Psalms 1, 1 through 3, if you would. Psalms 1, 1 through 3. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." We need to be careful who we are with, because truly they have an influence on us. We're going to go to 1 Kings 11, 3 through 4. 1 Kings 11, 3 through 4. This talks about Solomon. He was a very wise man, but he did not always apply that wisdom to himself. So we'll start in verse 3. "And he had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." Marriage being a very close relationship here, he would have spent a lot of time with, you know, very ungodly women, being married to 1,000 of them. I mean, we think, wow, that's crazy. And he even, you know, went to the extent of, you know, worshiping their gods and building temples to worship to the false gods of his many, many wives. But, you know, what in our lives are we putting before God that's, you know, making him, you know, go in the back seat of our hearts and lives? And it's very sad. We need to seek God that he would help us to see where we need to put him first more. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. We are not to be like the world. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And we'll pause right there. And I know that many years ago it was very common for preachers to say something like, you know, if you were tried for your faith and being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Is there enough different about you to differentiate you from the rest of the world around us? And I pray that that would be true. We'll go on, keep reading. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. There's a lot in this passage here, but we just really need to tell ourselves the truth about, you know, what is in our lives that is repelling to, you know, our holy and just God. Because, you know, I know in my life, and I know it can be true in, you know, the lives of all of us, you know, it's easy for us to sometimes look down on other Christians because, you know, they may do something that we think is, you know, really bad, but, you know, they probably, you know, look at us and say, oh, well, we don't do that. But we just need to ask God for help to see the sin in our own lives and be more concerned with the lost around us than, you know, whether, let's say, you know, our Christian brother across the aisle, you know, eats, you know, some red meat. I mean, you know, there's, you know, it's lost souls are going to hell if they're not saved. So, but of course, if there's false doctrine involved, then that definitely needs to be challenged and by the scripture. Now we'll look at a good instance of one wearing off on another. We will turn to Acts 9:27, where a man named Barnabas was a good influence on Saul, later known Paul. Acts 9:27. This was Saul had just seen the Lord in the way, and he had recently converted to Christianity. And we'll read here, "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." You know, if Barnabas hadn't, you know, influenced him for the right and, you know, encouraged him, you know, we don't know what he would have done, or more like what he had not done, because he could have, you know, got discouraged and backslidden, but instead, you know, he went on to be a great missionary, and we really need to focus on trying to be a good influence on others. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:17, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." We need to be focused on, you know, sharpening the countenance of others and not, you know, dulling them. We don't want to be the elephant in the room when it comes to, you know, a mopey face. You know, we want to be able to, you know, cheer people up. And also, I think it's easy for us, you know, to not be uplifting and encouraging to many other, you know, whether it's, you know, new converts or people that in our eyes they may seem more carnally minded than our self-righteous selves. And it's easy because we just like to, you know, keep in our comfort zone and not take the time to, you know, actually encourage them. We just like to be, you know, passively, you know, Christian and not active. And that's a problem. We need to realize that, you know, there's no such thing as a perfect utopia on earth. I mean, if I formed a bubble up here, oh, you know, I'm just going to have a utopia and it's just going to be me. Well, that bubble would fill up with sin pretty awful fast. And we just need to keep our eyes on the only perfect one, Lord Jesus Christ. And if we do, then we will have a more positive outlook on life, because we will always be focused on good, because that's what God is. And so that brings us to our third point. Are we having effective time with God so he can rub off on us? We're gonna take a look at Moses in Exodus 34, 29 through 30. Exodus 34, 29 through 30. Moses here was just up with the Lord on the mount for 40 days, 40 nights. And here he's coming down. We'll start reading it to verse 29. And it came to pass, when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not, which means, you know, he did not know, you know, that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh unto him. Now, I personally have never seen somebody's face literally like just beam with true light after their time with God, devotionals, etc. But, you know, it should be a vivid picture for us. I mean, after, you know, our time with God, whether that be in the morning or throughout the day or after we've been to church, you know, you'd think we would have a smile on our face and, you know, treat and serve others as Christ would. And finally, if we are right with God and have been in his word for strength and encouragement, we then should have a burning desire to show God's great love with others. And with us as being saved, you know, we have the gospel with us. And if we're saved, we have, you know, believed the gospel and we're trusting in Jesus. And with that, we should go out into the world and, you know, try to wear off on the world in that, you know, shedding God's light. I'd like to read a song now that spoke to my heart. It's called "A World We Never Touched" by John Marshall. And here it goes. He walked along the shores of Galilee. From clay he formed the healing balm that caused the blind to see. When stones of wrath lay heavy in their hands, he knelt to write his mercy in the sand. Showed us by the way he lived, the way we need to be. Our love is more than words could ever say. We must touch them with compassion to help them find the way. Talking about the lost and getting them the way. And the chorus goes, how can we reach a world we never touch? How can we show them Christ if we never show them love? Just to say we care will never be enough. How can we reach a world we never touch? And the second verse, could we be so busy being saved, trying to impress a world that's long since lost its way? We pride ourselves in being set apart, yet we don't take time to touch a broken heart. Even if we found the time to care, would we take the risk in always being there? Oh, we hold the very thing they need so much. Sometimes the word of God can pass through just a simple touch. And then another chorus, and then third verse. We hide behind these walls and the security of friends, while beyond the stained glass windows, the world is lost in sin. How can we reach a world we never touch? How can we show them Christ if we never show them love? Just to say we care will never be enough. How can we reach a world we never touch? You know, just we pride ourselves in being set apart, like it says up there in the song. You know, we like to think ourselves as set apart, but are we truly, you know, in our hearts? I'd like to turn to Jude 1, verse 22 and 23. Yeah, it takes time, and it's can be uncomfortable to, you know, reach out to the lost and to those in need, but it's what we're here to do. Jude 1:22-23, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. You know, we need to be, you know, pulling lost people out of the flames. I mean, once they're in hell, they're in hell, and, you know, there's no more that we can do. But, you know, the lost are literally just, you know, walking into hell with hardly a thought. Um, one thing that God has really spoken to my heart recently is that, you know, all men that don't get saved, you know, they go to hell where the worm never dies and the fire's not quenched and the worm never dies. You know, I'm afraid that us as Christians have taken on way too much of the world's philosophy that, you know, if you're a good person, you go to heaven. But, you know, we see somebody that's, you know, perhaps really nice, they're really kind, extremely helpful, like a sincere Christian should be. And, you know, we say, oh, wow, that's a nice person. You know, we don't reach out to them enough, you know. And then we see, you know, somebody like Hitler or Stalin or Putin or, you know, whoever, and we, or, you know, somebody that we think is, you know, weird or something, and we say, oh, wow, that person really needs to be saved. They're going to hell. And I feel like we have lost some of the urgency that God wants us to have. In James 2:10, we can go there. You know, there's some nice people out there, and sometimes I think some Christians are tripped up. It's like, you know, how can these nice people go to hell? But, you know, we're all sinners. And so James 2:10, for whosoever shall keep the law and yet offend in one point. It doesn't say in 2 points. It doesn't say in 3 points. It says in one point he is guilty of the big three-letter word all. You know, people can be good, but, you know, we're all still sinners. In Romans 6:23, and many of us have that memorized, for the wages of sin is death. It doesn't say sins. It says sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. People need Jesus. That's just what they need. You know, they seek so many different things, whether it's, you know, some form of pleasure or, you know, whatever it is. I mean, there's a lot out there that can bring any of us pleasure. But, you know, Jesus is the answer. I mean, he's the way, the truth, and the life, and we need him. You know, can we just sit idly by while people go into hell? I mean, I was thinking last night while I was preparing this message, you know, what is it going to be like for us, you know, when, you know, God judges, you know, the unsaved sinners, and, you know, we see, you know, in the long line of people that he's going to judge, and we see, you know, our next door neighbor, you know, stand in front of him as, you know, unsaved, you know, what would it be like for, I mean, I don't know how this is going to look like, of course, but, you know, what are we going to feel like, you know, if we never took the time to witness to them, and then we see them, you know, be judged and be thrown into hell? I mean, that should really stir us to go out and witness more, because, I mean, that's just horrible. I hope it wouldn't be true of us. I pray that we would all grasp God's vision for the world, and we're going to look at that vision right now. We could turn to Luke 19:10. Luke 19:10. And that reads, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. God wants all men to be saved and doesn't want any to go to hell. He takes no pleasure when, you know, people die and go to hell. In Ezekiel 33:11, we could go there. Ezekiel 33:11. That says, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Jesus, he gave his all. He came down here and, you know, was in a physical human body, and he died for us. And, of course, as soon as he died, he went back to heaven, and then he came back down, you know, 3 days later and, you know, took up flesh again and to show that he had power over death. And, wow, what a great victory. Because, you know, 10 out of 10 people, they all die. You know, none of us are, you know, going to live forever on this earth. So in closing, I'd just like to go over our 4 points. Number one, we need to make sure that we are not running in the wrong crowd because we do not want to drift away from God. Number two, we want to encourage others to grow into mature Christians. Number three, we want to have intentional and sincere time with God each day. And lastly, number four, we want to be doing what God has called all of us to do in evangelism. And if we could turn to Hebrews 3:24, we'll close with that. Hebrews 3:24-27. Hebrews 3:24-27. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So I just pray that throughout this week we would have our focus on the Lord and the things of the Lord, and that we would truly be seeking to find souls to win to Jesus, because if they don't get saved, they're going to hell. And for those, you know, I mean, we thank, you know, missionaries that, you know, go around the world proclaiming God's word, and that is great. And you know, many times I feel like it can be very easy for some of us to, you know, give to missions and whatnot, but yet we are not willing to get out on the battlefield ourselves. But I pray that would not be true of us in the days ahead. I hope that we would have an influence on the world more than the world would have an influence on us. For like we read earlier, we are to be separate and set apart. And so, close with that, and let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day and this time. I do pray for Pastor, Lord. I pray that you would heal his ear, Lord. And Lord, he would heal so that he could be here tonight, Lord. I pray for the other services today, Lord. I pray that you would bless Brother Needham as he comes later. And the nursing homes, Lord, I just pray that you would prepare the way for your word to be proclaimed, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.